Our first reading this morning will come from the book of Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 5 in the book of Acts, beginning at verse 27 and reading through verse 32. And it is found on page 951 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charge you not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Our second reading, gospel reading, will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 19 and reading through verse 23. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. And if you retain the sins of any, they are forgiven." Retained. The word of the Lord. Peace be with you. In John's Gospel, those are the first words of the resurrected Lord to his disciples. It is still the first day of the week, the first Easter evening, and the followers of Jesus are huddled together and fearful, locked away behind closed doors in the upper room. They have heard strange rumors from Mary Magdalene that she has seen the Lord, that the tomb is empty. But they don't know what to make of the rumors. They're still apparently overcome by their fears. But despite their fears and their locked doors, the resurrected Lord comes to be in their midst. And he tells them, "Peace be with you." We should note that the Jesus who comes to be with them is not a ghost. He is not a spirit. He is not an apparition of any kind. He is the bodily risen Jesus. He is the resurrected Lord. He still bears the wounds from the crucifixion on his body. And all of that is important because in the Bible, bodies matter. not just Jesus' body, but our bodies as well. We believe in the resurrection of the body. The resurrection of the body is God's commitment to our flesh and blood and material existence. And so it is the crucified, resurrected Lord who comes to be in their midst. We can only imagine what the disciples must have felt when Jesus somehow slips past their locked doors in the upper room. They were no doubt feeling a sense of elation, a sense of astonishment, a sense of joy. Jesus, who was crucified, dead, and buried on Friday, is now alive and with them on Sunday. But I also imagine that they felt a sense of profound shame. After all, none of them had comported themselves well during the events on Good Friday. They had betrayed him. They had denied him. They had deserted him. And now here they were, hunkered down in their fears in the upper room. But Jesus doesn't rebuke them in any way. He doesn't say, "You bunch of goobers, you can't do anything right. You betrayed me, you deserted me, you fled when I needed you most. You couldn't even wait and pray with me, even though you could see that I was in a great deal of distress." It's probably what I would have said if I were Jesus. But he doesn't say anything like that. Instead, he says, "Peace be with you. Peace." In the ancient world, the conferment of peace was a greeting that was used to dispel fear. Peace be with you. Shalom aleichem in Hebrew. Salam aleichem in Arabic. Peace. Several months ago, I was going into the market after church, and I was still wearing my suit and bow tie that I had on for church. And as I was entering into the market, a young man sitting in a car yelled out the window, "Salam aleikum." He obviously thought that I was an adherent of the Nation of Islam with their customary bow ties. But I remember thinking, what a wonderful way to greet someone with the word of peace. Peace be with you. Peace, my brothers and sisters, peace be with you. I wish I could have thought quick enough to say to that young man, "Peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as well, my brother, peace." Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what we're all looking for? Just a little bit of peace. I find that the older I get, the more that I want peace. Peace be with you. In the Bible, peace is about being whole and complete. It's about life that is lived without anxiety and fear. We live in a chaotic world, a fearful world, a world that riddles us with all kinds of anxieties. It seems that every time we look up, there's something that causes us fear, a shooting there, a bombing here, a plane crash, a hurricane, political uncertainties, economic insecurities, a lot of things to be worried and anxious about. And of course, sometimes we Christians appear to be as hunkered down and fearful as everyone else. Fearful of a changing world, fearful of people who are different, fearful of those who don't believe the way that we do. But it's in the midst of our world of fear and anxiety that Jesus comes to be with us, and his word for us is a word of peace. Peace be with you. Maybe you are here this morning and you are hunkered down and locked into your own fears. Fear for your family, fear for your health, fear for the future, fear about what's happening at your work. Or maybe what is unsettling you this morning perhaps is not fear so much, but a deep sense of shame. Maybe you have wounded someone and you feel guilty about that, or maybe you yourself have been wounded. Maybe you are carrying around inside of you a deep sense of unworthiness, a deep sense of shame, a feeling that you do not belong. We live in a world that is good at shaming. And sometimes we do that even in the church. In fact, many people sometimes do not come to church because they feel ashamed of who they are, ashamed that they will be judged. But the word of the Lord to you this morning is a word of peace. Peace be with you. Of course, there is always conflict as well. Even in the church, sometimes we are embroiled in conflict. I wish it were not so, but you know that as well as I do. Sometimes, even as God's people, we are at each other's throats. I wish I could say that many of our conflicts were over deep theological principles, and sometimes that is true, but oftentimes it is not. Sometimes we are in conflict over the most mundane of things, the color of the carpet, the hymns to be sung, the version of the Bible to be read, all kinds of things. I remember when I was new at my first church, I was there for 2 weeks, and when I got there, some contractors were doing work on the windows, the stained glass windows. And I remember the second week I was there, the clerk of session came in and said, you know, Pastor, we need to pay the first installment to the contractors. They want the first installment, the first payment, before they'll continue to work. And so I said, oh, well, you know, fine. You know, how much do we owe them? He said, $8,000. I said, well, do we have it? He said, yeah, we have it. I said, well, pay them. And he said, well, we can't. I said, why? He said, because the finance chair refuses to write the check. Well, why does the finance chair refuse to write the check? Well, because she doesn't like the property and grounds chair, and so they're at each other's necks. You talk about fear. I was asking myself, boy, what did you get into? This is my second week here at this church, and already a major dispute. And we Christians sometimes find ourselves contending with one another. But the word of the Lord is a word of peace. I want you to be people of peace. Peace be to you. Jesus comes to bring us peace. Not because the world is in a scary place, an anxious place, a humiliating place. But he comes to bring us peace and experience peace because Jesus has already overcome everything that can make us afraid and anxious. And so he wants us to be people of peace. Peace, of course, is not something that we can give ourselves. It is a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is one of the fruits of the Spirit, fruits like joy and gentleness and kindness and patience and peace. That's what Jesus does. He blows the Holy Spirit on his disciples, and it sounds kind of weird, but it harkens back to the book of Genesis, the creation story, when God created human beings. God formed human beings out of the dust of the earth, and God breathed the breath of life into us, and we human beings became a living soul, living souls. And that is what Jesus does to his disciples. He blows into them the breath of life, the breath of new life, the breath of new creation, the breath of resurrection. He is shaping them, informing them to be new people, the people of new creation, resurrection people. But it all begins with peace. Peace be to you. And that brings me this morning to worship. Brings me this morning to what you and I do here when we come here every Sunday. I realize that I don't always do a good job in explaining the elements of worship, but everything that we do here has theological significance. Because what we are doing here when we come to worship is we are training ourselves and shaping and forming ourselves to be a different kind of people, to be a new creation people. I know that under the influence of a radical type of Protestantism, it's easy to reduce worship to that which is practical or that which is entertaining or that which is popular. But we are training ourselves and shaping ourselves and forming ourselves to be resurrection people. That is what we do when we come together here every Sunday. We meet on Sundays not because it's just a convenient day. We could meet on almost any day of the week, but we meet here on Sundays because it is Resurrection Day. It is the day of the Lord. It is the day that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. It's the day that we have the opportunity to live into the new creation. Of course, we come and we give the Lord an hour. In the early church, it was an all-day affair. They would come and they would share a dinner with one another, and they would live out in the midst of that dinner what it meant to be the people of new creation. But that is why we come here too on Sundays, to live out what it means to be the people of the new creation. Every Sunday we have an offering. And we do that not simply because, you know, the church needs money to be able to support the operations of the church. All of that is important, but we take the time to take up an offering because, again, we are shaping and forming ourselves to be new creation people, people made in the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave everything for all of us and for the sake of the whole world. And so in worship, we take up an offering. And we are forming ourselves into his likeness. Every Sunday, we close our worship with a benediction, ascending out. And again, we do that not just because it's a convenient way to end the service, but we do that because God sends us out. As the Father has sent me, says Jesus, so I am sending you. And so we do that as well, practicing and training what it means to be faithful sons and daughters of God sent out into the world. And right in the middle of all of that, we have what we call the passing of the peace. We do that in many churches, especially most Presbyterian churches. Several weeks ago, last month, when I was back home in my hometown of Springfield, Missouri, I went to a Presbyterian church. I usually try to find a Presbyterian church to go to on Sunday mornings. And so I went to a Presbyterian church, found one on the other side of town. It was a big, magnificent building, but they only had about 20 people. But I was there, and they had a time of greeting where they passed the peace. And it was a wonderful time, and I remember a little old man coming up to me and extending a welcome and passing the peace, and he asked me my name, and I told him my name, and then he looked at me again and said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I looked at him and I said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't." And he was one of my coaches in high school, Coach Kenlock. But whenever you pass the peace, you never know who you'll run across. But we do that. We pass the peace not because it's an opportunity for us to say hi to each other, or it's an opportunity for us to catch up with one another, not because it's an opportunity to meet and greet whatever visitors may be in our midst, not because it's an opportunity to allow the preacher to get, you know, his thoughts collected, or to pass the preacher a note about something that he might have forgotten to announce or something that he needs to announce. We do that because what we are doing is we are offering each other the peace of Christ. We are offering each other forgiveness and reconciliation. Peace be with you, my brothers and my sisters. Peace. If I've done something this week to hurt you, peace be with you. If something has happened that has estranged me from you, peace be with you. If there's something deep down inside of your heart that causes you to feel ashamed and unworthy, peace be with you. I want you to experience the peace of Christ. If there's something that makes you afraid and fearful, peace be with you. We are extending wholeness and reconciliation and the forgiveness of people of God. Peace. Peace be with you. As we said last week, none of us can prove the resurrection of Jesus. We can't bring his body back for people to see his scars or his wounds. But as I said earlier, bodies matter. And even though we can't bring the Lord himself back, you and I are the body of Christ. We are his body in the world. And the only way that people will come to believe in the resurrection is if they see us living the resurrection in their midst. And part of living out the resurrection, part of what it means to be new creation people, is that we are people of peace. Peace be with you. Peace, my brothers and sisters. May you be people who continually have the peace of Christ upon you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks this morning for who you are. We give you thanks this morning for overcoming the locked places in our hearts, those places that are fearful, those places that are not trusting of others, those places of conflict and hurt. We thank you for touching those places and for helping us to be people of peace, of your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. We ask that you continue to send us out into the world as your witnesses, as people who extend that peace to all, and who are always willing to forgive and to be reconciled to one another as we continue to live as your resurrected people. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.